I would like to encourage each of you, if you did not get a copy of the book, Living on God's Economy, we're giving those away to everyone that wants one, and we'd like for you to read it, and we'd like for you to embrace it, because the economy in which we're living on looks to me like it's just a dab shaky. Amen. I would like to encourage you. Our men will have them in the back. We'd like to give you one. And if you have one, please read it. It don't do any good just to lay it on the shelf there and not read it. I was sitting in the office with Dr. Chappell's maybe last year, I guess it was, and told him that we usually give a book out every year dealing with stewardship. Last year we give the book, I think, The Blessed Life. I think that's the one we give last year. I read that when I was ashamed myself and I threw the book away. It's got me under such conviction. It was plumb out of my league. But boy, I enjoyed the book and it helped our church. And so I just told Dr. Chappell that we give a book each year to our folk. And he said, that's a good idea. So he wrote one and gave it to his. And so now I'm going to give it to you, if you would please. It's a very expensive book. Cost $100. And we'd like to, if you'd like to make up some of that price, and I'll take 50 for it. But if you'd like to do that, if you would please. I'd like you to turn your Bible today to the book of Matthew, chapter number 7. And while you're doing that, I'd like to remind you the theme for our stewardship month this year is for your benefit. The Apostle Paul said, not that I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. When you got saved, God opened an account for you in glory. And Jesus said, lay not up for yourself treasures on the earth, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. And so when you and I give, it's not necessarily for anybody else's benefit, but ours. We're the ones that move out of this old life and move into the next. And I hope if there is a checking account there, you will at least have enough to pay your first month's light bill. It's for your benefit. I don't need your money. I don't want your money. I'm not going to steal your money, and I'm not going to fraudulently beg you for your money. But I'd sure like for God to bless you. And it's my desire today as your pastor not to take your money, but to move you out of Obama's economy into God's economy. Please let me read for you just a few verses out of Matthew chapter number 7. Begin reading in verse 24. And I am well aware that it is 10:51. And I'm well aware what happens at 12 noon. Because Brother Jim's behind me. And he got a string around my waist. And if I turn real pale in a moment, you know that he's pulling hard on that string about 11:59. Please listen to what our Lord Jesus admonishes us to do. Therefore, verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. As I look around us and hear the news and read the papers and read the periodicals, I've come to the conclusion that maybe the economy in which we live is very unpredictable. I was watching a news forecast the other day, and a politician running for a high office made this statement: the number one priority in the world is the economy, even over terrorism. And I kind of thought a minute, and I said, well, I think this guy's lost the screw. And then he began to explain his comment. He said the terrorist could set off an atom bomb or a nuclear device in any city in America, and sure, there would be hundreds and hundreds of thousands die, but we would recover. But he said, we cannot recover from a worldwide economic collapse. I guess this economy in which you're basing all of your security on has changed the dab in the last 2 years. Oh, you remember when your tax check was big. Oh, you remember when your gas check was larger than it is now. Unemployment is at an all-time high. Only during the Depression was unemployment any higher than it is today. Government spending is out of control. I'd like to know where we're getting $100 million to send Haiti, since we're so broke now we need a cosigner to pay cash. The stock market is controlled by fraudulent financial bookmakers, and many has lost their retirement and lost their whole fortune because of fraudulent bookkeepers who has cooked the books and told the stock market a lie, and now where are we? Our bailouts are a complete failure. I don't know anywhere that there's any significant of job gains anywhere or job creation anywhere because of the stimulus that now we've spent billions of dollars on. It looks to me like that the stimulus packages has become nothing more than slush funds to buy the votes of senators and representatives who's trying to get the best deal for their state, like the Louisiana Purchase and others. Now the unions have been paid off, and so they've got their vote. The mortgage companies are still making bad loans, even locally. They're under indictment because of issuing bad loans since the stimulus. I just wonder today, why in the world would Baptist folks who are saved and have a Bible in their hand put their security in such a fraudulent, fluctuating, phony failure of an economy? You're looking forward to Social Security? You might ought to depend more on eternal security. You're looking forward to this great insurance package? You better look to the healer of all healers instead of Washington, D.C. I just wonder today. It's an amazing thing to me. You just imagine 2 years ago. Just just 2 years ago. 2 years ago. Real estate values were skyrocketing. Real estate had made many of us a little bit wealthier than we are today. Stock market was strong, was it not? Just 2 years, 24 months ago, maybe 30 months ago. Boy, how much stronger the economy was and how much hope we had in the future. And dear God, we could have sold our houses and we could have done this or that. And the employment was right, was doing good. And all of a sudden today, we're in a complete financial meltdown. Churches are hurting all over the country. Christians are holding their offerings that belong to God, and now they're stealing from God, expecting God to bless them. And I'm just saying today, bless your heart, that we are have two choices. We can either embrace God's economy or God's economic system, or we can continue to fluctuate in the one we've got. But my Lord said that if we would build our house on the rock, He would like us unto a wise man. And when the floods come, and when the inflation comes, and when the election changes, and when all the promises of the politicians fail, His rock will still be there. But how many of us today, be honest, feel like our financial system situation is kind of shifting just a dab? The sands, lost jobs, lost businesses, lost credit. Now we're just a victim of this society and this economic system. Now don't go to sleep. I'd rather you to think about something today. Are you living by this world's economic system, living in an unpredictable, shifting sand principle of economics? This could be scary. It could be depressing, and it is most certainly very dangerous to live by this world's economic philosophy. This world's philosophy is get. Hold on to what you got. Protect what you got. Lock up what you got. And that way you'll always have it. But they didn't take into account the little word inflation. We're paying more today for a car than I paid for a house. When I was smoking, I think cigarettes were like 20 cents a pack. I'm not going to ask you to tell me how much they are today because you'd be giving yourself away. I forgot what a six-pack of beer cost. Does anybody know? $1.59, yeah. Soda waters could be bought for a nickel. Gas was 10 cents a gallon. You say, well, preacher, I'm making a lot more money now. Yeah, really? It ain't what you're making, it's what it's worth. And let me tell you something. The devil and his system is never going to let you get ahead. It is not going to let you get ahead. And I will liken him who builds his house upon the sand. I will liken him unto a foolish man. And when the elections change, and when the taxes come to pass, and when everything else is done, the winds blow, the floods come, and his house is destroyed. I just want to ask you a question. Are you living by this world's economic system and principle? Do you have more faith in Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi and Al Gore and the White House transparent crowd than you do Jesus Christ, the God of glory? Let me ask you something. Are you really sure who'll be writing your check next year? I'm talking about your paycheck. Have you ever heard of corporate takeovers? Have you ever heard of hostile corporate takeovers? Have you ever heard of, I'm sorry, we can't use you any longer, but I'll retire in 6 months. Yes, I know. I'm sorry. We can't use you any longer. How foolish it is for the child of God to base his life and his security and his happiness and success upon this world's shifting kind of economic system. Satan would love, bless your heart, for this shaky economic system to hinder the Lord's work. And by the mass media telling us how bad it is and just how worried we are and just how uncertain times are would make the average Baptist hold on to what belongs to God. Now, I know nobody here has God's tithe in his pocket. Now, I know no one here would fraudulently try to rationalize that God will understand because times are tough. It ain't time to pray. You can look up and say amen. Amen. I know no one here today would listen to the devil's lie and talk about the recession and talk about how tough it is and how tight it is. I know the devil would never try to hurt this church or another church all because of a recession. But it's already beginning to become a reality. We had a fellow the other day quit our church because we had a cash register in the bookstore. Said, well, they got a cash register in the bookstore. Well, he never used it. In fact, I looked at his tithing record and he never used that either. Oh, how we can rationalize things away. Well, our future is looking kind of shaky and I don't know about the job, honey. Let's just cut back down to church. After all, a preacher's a good administrator and he's got stuff laid by. I know he just has because look at the kind of clothes he wears. Hey, they sell these down to Goodwill. $2.98. I guess. But already, the truth be known, the devil's using this thing called recession and this economy. Come on now. Using that already to tighten you up. Tighten you up. Just here at the church now, not down at Walmart. Just here, not up at the la-la land. See, the tickets to watch the movies still cost the same. It's just God's people rationalize that God will understand intentional disobedience. And I want to tell you today, there is a better way, and that is God's economy, the solid rock kind of economy. That kind that'll work, bless God, when nothing else will work. That which God has promised, He will bring to pass. Let me help you real quickly. I want to give you three things, and then I'm going to go. I'm going to go if I don't get the three things out, because I know you won't be here, and so I'm just going to go when you do. It's my God-given desire in my heart to help you. Amen. To help you. I'm 70 years old. And I've embraced God's financial principles for 40 some years. And I've not ever outgiven God. I've never wanted anything that God did not supply. I have not punched a clock since God called me to preach. My Bible says they that preach the gospel should live of the gospel. I believe that with all of my heart. And I have just completely depended on God's solid rock economy. And I began years ago building my life and building my future and building my whole being on the rock and not on the shifting sands of this old world. Can you say amen? I don't care if pickup trucks is $100,000. I'll go buy one. You say, you're crazy. No, I'm not. It's better than walking. Especially at my age. Because I do know if they're selling pickup trucks for $100,000, something else has got to increase. And my God shall supply all of my need. Somebody said, why are you driving a truck? Because I want one. Now, you're not going to hear me praying for bologna. Forget it. Now, I'll eat bologna if that's all Ginger's got to slice. But I ain't wasting my time praying for bologna when I can pray for a bull to run through my house and just cut a slab off. Do you understand that? Get your thinking out of the fundamental gutters of this old world and realize that the God you serve today is not broke. And He has an economic system that works if you'll just embrace it. Let me give you three things about God's economic system. God's economy system. Number one, you need to... I ain't putting it on the board because you look at the board and don't listen. Are you ready? God's economic system encourages sacrifice. Let me give you this. Philippians chapter number 2, if you would please. And the Bible says this. Philippians chapter number 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. See, this giving thing, this receiving thing, this money thing, this material thing, this economic thing is a mind thing. That's where it begins, right there. You've got to figure it out. But my Bible said, don't figure it out. Just let His mind become your mind. Well, they know where in the world 90% go farther than 100%. I'd rather have 10% with God's blessing as 90% in God's curse. I'm sorry, I do not want to put my money in bags with holes in it. I will not throw my future into wells that will not hold water. I will not throw it out there for the devil to steal it. I will not. So I'm going to put it in God's keeping and God's production. Amen. Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. Can anybody say amen? Amen. Notice what it says in verse 6. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Do you see any sacrifice in that? I said, do you see any sacrifice in that? Come on, do you see any sacrifice in God Almighty becoming a man and hanging on a cross and dying for mine and your sin? Do you see any sacrifice in that? Then if He sacrificed for me, is it a huge thing that I should sacrifice in return for Him? Is there anybody here? Could you say amen? God's economic system begins and encourages with sacrifice. The Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. 2 Corinthians 5:14. For the love of Christ does what? Constraineth us. Great love equals great sacrifice. Amy Carmichael said, the great missionary in the past said, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. Can you say amen? You see, the problem is, I remember a story in the Bible where that Jesus was invited to a Pharisee's house. And while Jesus was at the Pharisee's house, a little lady came in and began to weep and began to wipe our Lord's feet with her hair and anointed him with some very expensive perfume. You remember that? And the Pharisee said, Lord, if you knew who this was, you would not tolerate what she's doing. You remember that? And Jesus gave a parable about someone who owed someone a lot of money and another who didn't owe so much money. And then he got down to verse 47 in the book of Luke and he says this, she gave much because she loved much.
Amen.
Did your offering today reflect your love for God and your desire to sacrifice for Him to the extent that He has sacrificed for us? See, in God's economy, He said, it's going to cost you something if you sow the seed. I'm not going to let you have the seed free. And if you want great revenue, it takes great sowing. And if you want to have a great return, then you must extend at least some sacrifice. You see, I just believe that God's keeping the record. Is there anybody here today think God's keeping the record? But now, I must remind you, if you look in Mark, you'll find that God's bookkeeping system does not work the same way as your CPA. Because in Mark chapter 12 and in verse 41, I see here about, I think, what would kind of help us come to conclusion of what's going on in Mark 12. And the Bible says that one day, Jesus was sitting, in verse 41, over against the treasurer. And he beheld how the people cast in money. Now, I can see right now a lot of folks here wouldn't go back to church anymore if Jesus was watching what they gave. I just know folk. See, a lot of our folk not here in January because they have a slight inkling I might mention money during the month. They'll be back in February flopping their wings saying, look what we've done. So Jesus tells a story about sitting in the treasurer watching people as they gave their money. And many cast into the treasure that was rich, they cast in much. And there was a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you that this poor widow cast in more than all they that cast into the treasure. So I must come to the conclusion that God's bookkeeping system don't work the same way as the IRS. You see, this world's economy, bookkeeping is based upon dollars and cents. But God's economy is based upon love and sacrifice. And he looked at that lady who sacrificed all that she had, although it wasn't much in that day's economy. But in God's economy, it was more than anybody else put in, because it showed sacrifice. And God said that that made all the difference. What time is it? Did you know that God wants your heart and not your money? Because if He don't have your heart, He doesn't have your money. You see, attitude makes all the difference in the world. The same hand that writes the check to the IRS is the same hand that writes the check down at the church house. I think we ought to come to church kind of like the fella who's buying the wedding ring for his fiance. See, you write the check to IRS with your head. But when it comes to buying the wedding ring, the head don't even enter into it. Some of you guys still trying to pay off your engagement ring. Because you buy those things with your heart. And the heart is no reserve to show that one whom you love with all your heart, the one you just absolutely can't go to sleep at night for thinking about, that one that you buy all that stinking perfume to lay on you to hide your manly odors so that you may con her into saying, I do. When you write the check for the wedding ring, you write it with your heart, with no reserve, with all the devotion, with all the concern that you muster. But when you write the church down the check, church check down the check, if you, whatever you're doing down the church house, don't write it as if you were writing your tax check. Because God don't want your money. God don't want my money. God does not need my money. God wants my heart.
Amen.
And God wants your heart.
Right.
And that is shown only through sacrifice.
Yes.
Secondly, I've got to hurry. God's economic system operates on grace, not greed or guilt. If you're giving today because you're guilty, keep it. It won't do you any good. If you're giving today out of greed, keep it. It won't do you any good. The Bible says that God's economic system works on grace. And grace is an inside job. Grace is God doing something inside of you. Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do His good will. If today you do not have the will in your heart to give to God, it's because God has not done anything in you. But when God does something in you, He does it on the inside. He both works to will and to do His good pleasure. You understand that? And so grace given is the outward flow of an inward move of God in your life. Do you understand that? Those Corinthians over yonder in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the Bible says that they gave out of their deep poverty. They gave, they even, can you imagine this? They begged Paul to take an offering. Well, it's been a long time since anybody did that to me. Well, don't you know that crowd that ain't here this morning sitting at home waiting for the ball game to get underway? Don't you know? Wouldn't they just love to come in and beg me to take an offering? But the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, it says, notice, it says this very plainly. It says, for They did this, and as we hope, but they prayed us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. Grace giving is an inside job. It's God doing something on the inside, and then us being so appreciative of what God has done, we just want to give it. Have to give, and not only that, grace giving gives more than money. The Bible said they first gave their own selves to the Lord. The problem today is, you still own you. And everything you've got's yours. You made it. You worked for it. It's yours. And you'll do with it what you want to. Well, now that's evident that there's no work of grace being done in your heart. Because I read for you out of the Bible, how many folk believe it? It says this, and I think I'm just going to have to believe the word. It says, "Moreover, brethren, will you do to wit to the grace of God bestowed upon the children of the churches of Macedonia? How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For of their power, I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministry of the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God." Grace given is incorporated into God's economy. And 40-some years ago, I embraced God's economy, and it encourages me not only to sacrifice money, but my life. And you say, "Well, preacher, okay, I know, living on God's economy, I know, you've been saying that all these years. If I try it, preacher, how do I get involved in it?" Thought you'd never ask. I'm done. God's economy encourages sacrifice. How many folk believe that? God's economy operates on grace, not guilt, and not greed. Don't give because somebody shames you. Don't give because, well, you just feel obligated. Don't do that. God's economy system does not work on greed and on shame and on guilt. If God has not done a work of grace in your life, keep your money, because it won't do you or God any good. God don't need your money. But oh, how we need God's blessings, do we not? I activate God's economy system through giving. That's the third thing. You activate God's economic system through giving. Luke 6, if you'll turn there, if you would, please. And God's economy system works more than just money. More than just money is involved in God's economic system. It's for your benefit. If you would please, let me read for you. I begin reading in verse 36, and I'm just so close to done, you think we're almost ready to go. Luke 6, I read for you verse 36 through 38. God's economic system is activated. We get involved in it. We set it to work through our giving. Verse 36. "Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father is merciful. Judge not, shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give to your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, or ye give, wherewithal it shall be measured or given to you again." Jesus' word for you today, before you go home and watch the ball game, Jesus' word for all of us today is, be a giver. Be a giver. Give mercy. That way you can receive mercy. Give forgiveness. That way you can receive forgiveness. You don't receive forgiveness, then give it. You give it, then you receive it. You activate God's system and God's economy and economics by giving. Give understanding if you want understanding. Give service if you want to be served. Give finances if you want finances. For with the same measure that you give, you're going to receive again. Is that not so? Is that, how many folk can say amen to that? You see, this world's economic system says get. God's system says give. Brother Piggy walked my office this morning. And you know, that's a miracle when either one of us can walk into an office. Most generally, we have to crawl in. But Brother Pickett and Ms. Pickett has been our missionaries to the Mormons in Utah this last week. And they went up there to a CPA clinic or whatever it was. And they've been taught the principles, economic principles of this world this past week. Brother Pickett walked in my office and said, you know, I learned a great financial principle this week in Utah. I said, what's that? He said, you give to get. That's what they taught him. Mrs. Pickett is going to be a CPA. They taught her, you give to get. Well, that's a secret, isn't it? Amen. Reading you're getting is short. Because you're giving short. You say, no, there's a recession. Just at your house. There's not one at God's house. There's not one at my house. If you're getting it short, because you're operating on the wrong economic principle. Jesus said, give, and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Shall men give to your bosom? You said, yeah, but that's just a verse in the Gospels. Oh, really? Glad you include me in on that. By the way, could I read you one that's not in the Gospels? Just in case you'd like to hear something of the same sort. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Every man according to his purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound unto every good work. I don't know about you, but I think I'd be a lot happier building my hopes on a rock. I just believe I'd have a lot more security putting my hope in Jesus and not Obama. You say, well, you got something against Obama? Let's go on. I just don't have my hopes on Washington, D.C., regardless who's sitting on the throne. My hope is in Jesus' blood and righteousness. Now, I'm going to close. And you said that several times, but I mean it this time. Whoa. Question one of three. I want you to answer them for yourself. Are you looking to the provision or to the provider? Are you looking at the provision or the provider? Question number two. Are you looking at the need or are the source of your supply? Are you looking at your inability or God's capability? Because with God, all things are possible. So I would like to encourage you as your pastor not to increase our offerings or to increase our clout, but to increase your blessings. Build your house upon the rock. Because the winds are going to come. And the floods are going to come. The winds are going to blow. And one of these days, you might need something. I remember Elijah, bless his heart, standing down there by the brook, eating 2 meals a day, not 3. The buzzards bringing his victuals in the morning and his victuals at night. And actually, he's got it made. You don't have to do anything. It almost looked like Social Security. They just bring it in and dump it, and he eats it. And then the Bible said, and by, you remember what happened? The brook dried up. And then God said, I want you to go down to Zarephath. I got a widow down there. She's going to take care of you. I see old Elijah skippity-doo-dah and down the road. A witch widow's died. I'm going to be driving a Cadillac as sure as the world. The husband's left her a lot of money. God's going to take care of me. And he walks into town. The widow's out front picking up sticks. Remember that? You remember that? Remember what else that was? And she's just gathering a few sticks to cook her last little bread. Her and her son's going to eat, and they're going to die. And Elijah said, young lady, I've got a different economic plan for you. I know it hadn't rained in 3 years and 6 months, and Lord, I don't know whose fault that is, he said. Can't blame me for that deal. But he said, make me a little cake first. She said, we just have enough for us, and we're going to cook it, and then we die. He said, if you cook me a cake, you get in on God's deal. You don't have to worry about your deal no more. And the Bible said she did according to the saying of Elijah. And he ate, and she ate, and all of her household ate many days. Amen. Next verse. And the barrel just kept producing oil and oil. Wouldn't you think you'd be better off on God's economic plan than the shifting sands built and based upon fraudulent financiers who's cooking the books to their own making? And all of God's people said,
amen.
I wish I had time to tell you about the little boy and the lunch. But I don't. But he did go home praising God for God's economic plan.
Amen.
And then I read about a fella who looked at all he'd done and said, soul, eat, drink, and be merry. Your investments has paid off. Now you can retire. And Jesus looked at that guy and said, thou fool, you built your house on the shifting sands of this old world. And tonight thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be? My hope is built on nothing less but Jesus' blood and his righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but I thank you. I'll just lean on his holy name.
Amen.
On the Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is shifting sand. God bless your heart. There has not been, there will never be a recession with God Almighty, your Heavenly Father, your Redeemer, your Savior, your soon coming King. So look up and tell the news media where they can go because Jesus is in control.